Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. It is so good to be able to tune in to Blog Talk on this Monday night. I'm so excited about the speaker we have on tonight. He said he would be doing Facebook Live, so I am on Facebook looking for him right now. And I would just like to say thank you all again for tuning in. For those that have tuned in, remember, you call 310-861-2354, Blog Talk Ministries, Iron Shopping, Iron Through, Smile3E. So please mute your phone so that when the speaker comes on, we won't have a lot of background noise to interrupt the message, because I know I told him earlier when I had inboxed him, I'm already ready for the message on tonight. So we're coming to you again at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I am your host, Minister Sylvia Kaiser. I would like to say thank you again for tuning in, taking the time out to listen to our ministry on this night. Excuse me one moment. Thank you. I had to calm the noise down in my background. So to say to you all again, thank you for tuning in with us via web or Facebook or just Blog Talk. My co-host is Pastor Minister Brandon Kaiser, which will be opening the lines up for us on tonight. And I will say, before we get to listening to the man of God tonight, Prophet Antoine Thomas, we would like to go into prayer right now. We're going to pray a little bit, and then the man of God is going to come back and pray before he goes into his word. So let's take the time out now to acknowledge God. God, we thank you for this chance on tonight, God, to come before you to say, Lord, forgive us of every sin. God, forgive us of every sin of commission, omission. Forgive us of every premeditated sin. Forgive us of every sin that we did with not even thinking about who sees us and who cares. God, just forgive us. God, I'm asking you to watch over the people in Texas and any other state that's in the path of a hurricane, to just touch and cover them, God. I have family and I have friends there, to let them know that you still have their back. God, I'm just asking you to just touch America, to touch our president, touch all the families that are assigned to this ministry line and that are assigned to ministry, period. God, I just want to say thank you for everything that you're doing, everything that you're going to do, and everything that you have been doing. God, I think want to ask you to just touch the body of Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser. For today, I know for a fact that she has been a little tired and ill, God. Touch the body of Apostle Sandra Thomas and every other minister that is assigned and associated with Smile3E, Iron Sharpening Iron. God, I ask you to just touch Fountains of Living Water on today. God, I just want to say in those few words, God, I believe you, I trust you, and I'm going to make sure that I hold myself responsible for being prayer and intercessor for all of those that I named in some. In Jesus' name, I believe it is so. Amen. So tonight, we will be bringing you Prophet Antoine, Superman, the man, matching socks, man of God. So I just want to know, Prophet, are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am, I'm on the line.
Okay, I got your Facebook, so go ahead, Pastor. It's in your hand.
Awesome. Well, bless you, people of God. I just want to take the time to thank everybody who is logging on, everybody who's getting ready to log on, whether it be Facebook or you're on the Blog Talk with us tonight. I'm excited because of my work schedule lately. I haven't been lately able to to log on or to be a part of what's going on, but I thank God that he's given us an opportunity to be a part tonight. As you can see, I'm in my car because I'm not at home. I'm still in Orlando. The Lord says the same. This upcoming week, we'll actually be moving from Tampa to this area. So I'm excited about that. My family's excited about that. So I want to, you know, jump right in and share with you some things that God has laid up on my heart. And as always, I always ask everybody who would get a chance to watch this to share this live, not just because of me, but because I believe that the Lord will share some things with us and for us that we should share with those who are connected to us. The word's never about me. I'm not looking to get kudos from some person or some people about what God has shared with me. The truth of the matter is I'm too old for it. I've been in ministry long enough to know to understand that what God has placed on my life and in my life, it needs not the approval, nor does it warrant the approval of man. Thank you, Lord. So whatever I say and whatever I do, it's because I want God to get the glory out of my life. And so we're not going to hold you long tonight. Let's pray. Father, I give you praise and I give you honor. Father, because I know that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And so, Father, I pray that you speak to me, speak through me, and speak for me. Father, for the edification of the body. Father, whether it be Blog Talk Radio, whether it be Facebook Live, Father, I know that for such a time as this, you have shared this word with us to share with your people all over this world, all over this country. And I ask, Father, that we have ears to hear, a heart to receive, and the will to obey, and the wisdom to manifest what you would say to us tonight. Let no flesh glory in your sight. Father, you arise and let your enemies be scattered. In Jesus' name is our prayer. Amen. Bless you, those who are logging on. Brother Montgomery, G Mommy's there, Sister Tasha Washington, I appreciate that. JC, I appreciate that. Evangelist Elect Cecilia, thank you so much. Those who are logging on, those who are even listening on Blog Talk Radio, we thank God for all of you. We thank God for all of you. Cheryl, I thank you so much. Cheryl Stewart, if you guys don't know her, she has an awesome message. She has an awesome testimony. This woman of God has been through thick and thin the past couple of months, and God has continuously saw her through one thing or another. And I am grateful for that God has saw fit to keep her around and all that she's been through with all her aches and pains and being married to Levi is a testimony all in itself. Amen. I'm just teasing him. It's my brother and my sister. I thank God for y'all. I want y'all to know I am excited about your future. I am not going to belabor the time. Message that God laid on my heart a couple of days ago, and I know it's going to bless you, hopefully to enlighten you. I want to start in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read the start of the 11th verse. Ephesians chapter 4 and the 11th verse. Ephesians chapter 4 and 11 verse, and once again, those of you looking on, I just ask that you would share this with your friends and your family. Once again, it's not about me, but I know that whatever, I never want to speak out of my mouth anything that won't bless you or cause you to be better. Aubrey, bless you, man. I haven't seen you in a while. Ephesians chapter 4, and the Bible says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. Verse number 14 says, that we henceforth no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things, which he is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. Tonight, I want to talk about Christians in the quarry. Bless you, Evangelist Andrews. Give Bishop our love. I want to talk about Christians in the quarry And if you're not aware of what a quarry is an excavation pit, usually open and to the air, from which building stone, slate, and other like is obtained by cutting and blasting. In other words, this is a place where they build bricks and stones and building blocks, pretty much. Okay. Those of you who have ever been in the south suburbs, southwestern suburbs, right around LaGrange in that area, you'll see down Mannheim. There's one of these areas there that where they build these. You've seen a big gray stone, so they're like the kind of bricks that you would see inside of a church, not just a regular small brick, not just those, but also these bigger bricks that they use for the sake of buildings. This is where they come from. It's pretty much an abundant source of supply, okay? Quarries are generally used for extracting building materials, so it's a place where they get things together for the sake of building. And so if we're talking about Christians in the quarry, we're talking about people who are in a place that you are being built, you are being put together for the sake of being a building, for the sake of being a church. So sometimes we get saved and we tend to think that's it, that's all, I have reached my plateau because I speak in tongues, or because I now have a title, because I'm the preacher, the bishop, the apostle, the pastor. And in the body of Christ, we've got to get to an understanding where just because you receive the title does not mean that's it, that's all for you. One of the things that bothers me so bad in the church nowadays is when you go to church and you see the man or woman of God, they're up and they're before the people, and they're exalting the people to go in and praise God. And you'll see the people in the pulpit looking around as if the preacher was talking to everybody else but them. It is completely bothersome that you see that, because as a leader, it's not just your job to lead the people of God in a place where you tell them what to do or you're going to take them somewhere, but you also have to lead them by example. I worry about preachers who are in the office the entire time of praise and worship and then only want to come out when it's time to do preaching. And then the people of God have no example of what a leader in worship does. Period. And then the only time that your people get excited, the people that God has told you to lead, is when you start hooping and hollering. So the worship is empty, and up to the praise and worship leader to drag and to pull and to almost pull teeth almost to get people inside of worship, because the leadership in the house has not given an example of what real worship should be, of what leadership will do when it comes to worship. I appreciate people like Apostle James Farmer, Bishop Jeffrey Davis, Pastor Anthony Spencer, Pastor John Hanna, Pastor Karen Williams, people of that nature who are involved in the worship. And if you think I'm just calling out names, go to their churches. You'll see they are involved in the worship. They're not just in the office until it's time for them to preach, but they're in there, they're involved, they're singing. I've seen these men and women of God get down on their knees in the middle of worship. The last time I was in Chicago, I got a chance to fellowship with the Word Works Church, and Bishop Davis, the praise and begin to sing a song. That's who you are, that's who you are, wonderful, that's who you are. And the man of God began to get on his knees and beginning to worship. So many times I've seen Apostle James Farmer, he's doing one thing or another. He stopped what he's doing because he's into the worship, and he'll get up and continue the worship. I'm not getting up because that's the opportunity for me to preach, and I'm going to stop because it's time for me to teach. He will continue to flow and begin to flow. And he'll say, Prophet, I hear this, and I hear this song, and he'll begin to go there. Anybody who knows Pastor Apostle Anthony Spencer, he is a worshiper to his heart. But I appreciate those men and women of God, Pastor Karen, who was a psalmist to the depth. They will go there because they understand, bless you, Jesus, my title does not stop me from being a worshiper. Hallelujah. There's a song that that Marvin Sapp sings, that out of all the things I am and everything that I hope to be, If you look inside my heart, there's a worshiper in me. When I get done preaching, when I get done prophesying, when I get done laying hands, when I get done over there at this conference, over there at this at this conference, at this gathering, at this church or this engagement, I am in the heart of worship. And many times we miss the opportunity for God to perfect us because we want to hear a preach word. And sometimes God will perfect you in the worship. He will do something for you in the worship. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7 through 9 says, "And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. The door of the middle chamber was in the right side of the house, and they went up with winding stairs into the middle chamber, and out of the middle of the So he built the house and finished it and covered the house with beams and borders and of cedar." Let me tell you one thing. If God cannot shape you, he cannot use you. I'm going to teach tonight. I hope you got your pen and your paper ready. Let me tell you something. If God cannot shape you, he cannot use you. If you're so big that you can't be rebuked, if you're so anointed that you can't humble yourself under the man or woman of God, then you are not able to be used. Or you can't be used, but you'll be used like a dirty rag. Let me correct that. All right? Because he said, "There were many that will say, Father, I did this in your name and I did that in your name." And he'll say, "Depart from me, I know you not, you worker of iniquity." So in all your handling, in all your in all of your apostolic talking, he's going to tell you, "I know you not." And there are so many people out here, you've got a title, but God doesn't know you. You pastor a church, but God doesn't know you. You are in the Episcopal church, but God doesn't know you. You've got engagements, but God doesn't know you. And I know this isn't going to be a very popular message because we want to jump and shout and we want to do certain things because we want to feel good. We don't want to be shaped. We love being placed, but we hate being shaped. We love being put on display, but we hate being shaped. I played football in high school, and one thing I hated about football was grammar school and somewhat football in high school. One thing I hated was practice. I hated practice. I absolutely hated practice. I wanted to play. I was good, but I hated going to practice. And sometimes we want to be used, but we don't want to be perfected for the using. We want to, Pastor LaJuan, God bless you. We want to, Lynn Deborah, we want God to use us. We want our name in the light. We want the folk to know our name, but we don't want to be shaped. Your message is going to come out of the shaping. Your testimony is going to come out of the shaping. Let me just say this. I know we say in the church all the time that you can't preach where you ain't never been. That ain't the truth. That ain't Bible. We should stop saying that. It ain't the truth. You can preach what God told you to preach. God's word does not require experience. I'm going to say it again. God's word does not require experience, just simple willingness. We tell it to people all the time because we want to make people think that they can't preach a certain thing because they ain't been through it. The word never said that. It says that we overcome by the word of our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb. But it never says you can't say it because you ain't been through it. And that's some kind of almost witchcraft that we done worked in the church to make people, to belittle people's conversation if they haven't done what we think they should have done. God can bless you, man of God. Al Taylor just said, God can give you wisdom for what you've never been and never been taught. God will give you wisdom through somebody else's testimony. You've never been there. But once again, you have to be willing to be shaped. He said, of course, we know what the Bible says, come as you are. Yeah, come as you are, but don't stay as you is. Did I say that ebonically correct like that? Come as you are, but don't stay like you is. And sometimes we are people who will continue to ask God to use us,
but not continue to ask God to chastise us. We want him to do whatever he wants to do, however he wants to say it. Thank you, Pastor LaJuan. I'll use that as well. Paul talked about being married, but never was married. Talked about the importance of relationship and the importance of being married in ministry, but never once was he married. And so then we continue to tell people, you can't preach where you ain't never been. Please back it up with scripture. Please. God's word does not require experience. It requires a willing ear. He said, let them who have the ear to hear, hear what the Lord has said to the church. The Amplified Version says that he that wants to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And many times we don't want to hear things from certain people because we feel like they are not justified in what they're saying. And sometimes your experience may cause you to feel and say one thing, and call the next same experience may cause somebody else to feel or something else. So sometimes your experience isn't always biblical. It isn't always truth. It isn't always a good thing to tell. Sometimes you got to shut your mouth about what you've been through. Sometimes, because the truth of the matter, sometimes you didn't do it right the first time. They shape, and many of us need shaping. We need shaping. We need God to fix, to work on us. And if you feel like you don't need God to work on you, then you are at your lowest moment in your thinking ever in life. The shaping happens at the quarry. Why? Because the quarry is a construction site. It's messy there. And some things should not happen at the site of the temple. Some things should not be publicly displayed. Times, my mother would always tell us, she said, you're going to get your deepest deliverance at home. And growing up, I understood it, but at the same time, I didn't understand it. I understood that she meant you would get more deliverance at home than you would in church because you spend more time at home. But I didn't understand it to the fact because some things God's going to deal with you in your quiet time at home. God's going to take the time to tap you on your shoulder right in the midst of your foolishness you're doing and tell you, that ain't right. Stop thinking that. And many times we want God to just simply tap us on the forehead and everything be okay. We want to be tapped on the forehead and every problem, every struggle, every situation that we have be completely gone. And we don't want to practice any discipline in the house of God. The very definition of disciple means someone who was disciplined enough to follow. You have to be disciplined to follow. And many times we don't want to discipline ourselves. Some of us even want to be saved. We want to be sanctified. We want to be used, but we don't want to be disciplined, which is the purpose of the Holy Ghost, not to speak in tongues. I know you think that the purpose of you having the Holy Ghost is to look deep and to speak in tongues, but the purpose of your Holy Ghost is to bring discipline on a continuous basis outside of the four walls of the church. He's working on us in another place so that when we come to the temple, we can be a tool to those who may not know him in that magnitude. Many times the sinners can't get correct because the church folk in the church acting crazy. Once again, I'm just going to ask you to share this. Pass this along. I know I don't really preach a bunch of popular messages because I am an apostolic prophetic preacher. So therefore, things that I come out of my mouth may not be a jumping, shouting, dancing message, but I'm okay with that. I am perfectly fine. It's not an excuse. I just want you to know I am very much so aware of what God is, hallelujah, of what God has sanctioned me to do. Bless you, Jesus. You can't be a mess everywhere you go. You got some folk, one minute on their Facebook, they're blessing God, talking about church, doing live videos from church. Next minute, they're on there cussing, smoking. They got cigars on there. And you was just live at the church. Now you live at the party with a drink in your hand. And so, therefore, we portray a bipolar church to the world.
You get angry, so you cuss at somebody indirectly on your Facebook status, and then the next minute, then you're then talking about you on your way to church, and my pastor showed it preaching, I'm next in line for a message. You are bipolar, and you need God to fix your mind. Because your testimony has been diluted and tainted by your foolishness. And then you may even be witnessing to people, but they are being witnessed based on your tainted testimony. They've seen you doing all kind of stuff, saying all kind of things, going all kind of places, wearing any kind of thing, and then you invite them to church. And kudos for inviting the church. But you still acted a complete sinner in front of them. So now they think church is a club. They think they can go to church and do whatever and say whatever, however they want to live, with no discipline, no sacrifice, no repentant heart, no repentant life before the Lord. The Bible says don't let your good be evil spoken of. And many times we have invited people to church that we just left the club with. Because we don't practice any discipline. This thing in the church where we have made people think it's okay to do everything in the church and still be saved is a lie from the pit of hell. No, you can't still drink. No, you can't still smoke. No, you can't still fornicate. No, you cannot still commit adultery. No, you can't still kill. No, you cannot commit sin and it be okay in the church. Yes, God is working on you. Yes, God sees your heart, but he also understands your repetitive action. The reason why the spirit of homosexuality and lesbianism is taken over the church is because the church is perverted. And I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about the building. We have said everything is okay. I know I'm going to get in real trouble now. I know my number's going to go down right now. We have said everything is okay. We have allowed everything under the sun to happen in the church for the sake of God is love. Yes, God is love, but God hates sin. And we're forgetting that part. There is a God that turned his nostrils towards turned his face from his own son because of the sin that he had up on him. And I'm not worried about losing friends. I'm not worried about you being mad at me. It's a sin. And no, all sin ain't sin. That's another lie. Some sin has a stronger repercussion than others. I want to make sure that we make that clear. Homosexuality and lesbianism is not the same as lying. Yes, they are all sins. But the truth of the matter is the consequence of those separate sins are completely different. And we will walk around and have those who are struggling with that spirit, or those who are bound by that spirit, making them think this is just a normal sin. It is not. It is not. It is not. Its purpose is to pervert your very understanding, your responses, your attitude. It is there to pervert the very nature in which God created us to be in. I won't be bound by, because I feel those spirits coming at me now. I won't be bound by that. I won't shut my mouth towards it. I am not that type of preacher. I don't care what you think, what you say, what you know, what you think you know about me. I don't care. Please know that I don't care. The truth of the matter is we need to get back to holiness of hell. Oh, I ain't gonna have no help around here. If you believe what I'm saying, just type in holiness of hell. Because you can't be a mess everywhere. You gotta be shaped for where you're going. You're not perfect for where you're going. Where you're going is perfect for you. You always being working at the temple. Always doing this and always doing it. You never go home. And many times, that's why I express to people that when you hear the word of God, to get that word of God. Many of our churches now, they, we have media ministries. And we don't take advantage of him. You think that you're strong enough to hold on to that word that your pastor gave, but you're not. You cannot ask your natural mind to hold on to what God gave your pastor, your apostle, your bishop in the spirit realm. Your natural mind is not capable of holding on to that. And so, therefore, it behooves you, or it would be smart of you to go to the media minister and say, hey, pastor just preached an awesome word. I need that CD. I need that DVD. I need that tape. I need that A-track, whatever it is. I need that recording. Sister so-and-so, you went live on your Facebook. I can you tag me? I need to listen to that again because I need to hear that word again. Oh, bless you, Jesus. So the next time you come to the temple, you're not looking the same mess you was looking last week. Used to be a time I heard about recently, and I press go out to these young men's family. Just recently, there was a tragedy at Friendship Baptist Church where two young men were murdered. And it hurt my heart so. I didn't know them at all. I had no idea who they are, but it hurt my heart so. For so many different reasons, it hurt my heart. I mean, literally, it hurt my heart. It hurt my heart. I remember a time in the day, back in the day, where we walked past the church, we took our hat off. We wouldn't cuss in front of the church. We wouldn't walk past the church cussing. We wouldn't drive past the church or walk past the church playing loud R&B music. We wouldn't cuss in the church. We wouldn't smoke by the church. We wouldn't drink by the church. But now what folk care about smoking next to the church or cussing in the church or doing whatever, fighting in the church ain't nothing. And we can't blame the world for that. Nah, we can't blame the world for that. We can't blame the world for that. It's on us. Because we let our guard down. We stop having a standard in the house of God about what you look like and what you come in there and do and how you walk in there. I have never, ever been a person who preaches about clothes. Never. Because I firmly believe if you're not saved with pants on, you ain't saved with a dress on. I've always believed that. But what I do know is we relaxed our dress code and it went from there to something to everywhere else. Now, as Apostle Reggie Royal put it, we got camel toe in the church for men and women because the men are wearing clothes just as tight as the women are. We see everybody's genital area, everybody's breasts, everybody's cleavage in the church nowadays because it's okay to come in the church as if you're going to the Jerry Springer show and you're going to get bees for showing your boobies. Yeah, I know you ain't going to like me today. I know I'm talking a little too strong for some folks tonight. But if we don't get our hearts and our minds together, my God. 1 Peter 4:5-8 says, and who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to the God and Spirit. And but is the end of all things is at hand, but ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sin. In other words, a love shall cover a multitude of sin. You got a lot of cafeteria Christians, but no quarry Christians. That's why I don't understand people do so much church hopping. One minute you at this church, next minute you at this church, next minute this your pastor, next minute this your apostle, next minute this your preacher. It's because your appetite hasn't been sanctioned by the Holy Ghost. and you'll find that the older you get, the less you can eat fast food. Woo! God, I'm talking good to me tonight. You'll find that the older you get, you want a meal, hallelujah, that has been taken the time, that time has been taken into, there's been effort put into it. You know why? Because your digestive system will no longer process fast food the way it used to. And many of us have got a fast food salvation. Whew, God help me, Holy Ghost. Somebody type that in so I can remember that later. We've got a fast food. We got a fast food salvation. We want something quick. We want it hot. We're not concerned about what it does to our digestive system. We're not concerned about what it's going to do to our insides. Whether it's healthy, whether there's vitamins to sustain you, whether that food is being broken down. Because the food that you eat has to be broken down to send nourishment to the other parts of your body. My God, today, and most fast food is processed food. So you want to hear a processed word about you being next in line and you a hell survivor. And you want to keep hearing messages that are talking about your haters, but you won't take the time to say, Lord, I'm not worried about my haters. God fix me. When you get old enough, you'll understand that haters are a part of the program. I will not waste my time giving haters a commercial when I need God to fix me. Hallelujah. I'll say it again. I want to say it this way, Elder Al. I will not give my haters a commercial when the documentary of my life is being processed. Help me. Somebody type that one. I feel them fresh coming out. They're fresh off the press tonight. Yeah, I need y'all to hear this. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it again. I will not take the time, hallelujah, to give my haters a commercial when the documentary of my life is being processed in the Holy Ghost. Times we want something quick. It's like the story of the three pigs. You had one that wanted to build his house with straw and one that wanted to build his house with hay because they wanted to hurry up and build a house because they wanted to go ahead and play. And when the big bad wolf came, their house could not sustain the pressure of the wolf. And many of us, our houses cannot sustain the pressure of trials and tribulation. That's why we're so quick to say, Lord, bring us out. You can't deal with any pressure. You can't deal with the trial and tribulation that God called you to go through for the perfecting and for your pruning and for your rebuking and for your chastisement because all you ate was fast food. All you ate was fast food. And so you had a bowel movement, but you had nothing remaining to sustain you. Yes, you pushed out some mess, but nothing to sustain you. My God, help me, Holy Ghost. And the things that were toxic are not being cleaned out properly through proper vegetables and proper beverage because you got something that was quick and easy to make you feel good, but not cause you to be better. I'm gonna close. Y'all don't like me. I feel that tomato spirit coming back at me tonight. You got taken away from the quarry way too fast. And so before God could quicken you and before God could cause you to be the best that you could be, you were already in some position. And that's why it's imperative that we allow God before, that we don't get so positioned, that we allow God to perfect us. So to many of you, my young ministers and men and women of God out there, whether it be in music ministry or whether it be in the Word of God, whatever ministry you have at your young end, let God perfect you. Don't be so quick to try to hurry up and get an engagement and hurry up and start doing Facebook Lives and doing this and doing that. Let God perfect you. So that when you open up your mouth, the world would understand and hear the clarity that God and the wisdom that God's put in your belly. And don't be worried about people who may leave the court before you. Maybe they got finished first, or maybe they went on. But let God continue to work on you. Sometimes, bless you, Shantae, sometimes we are so quick to try to measure what we are doing based on what somebody else is doing. And God is saying, sit there, let me work on you. You got some issues that are still there. You got some resentment that are still there. You got some hurt that's still there. You got some disappointment still there. You still got some unforgiveness that's still there. Let God continue to perfect you, because the quarry has skilled people there. This is not just somebody who does this as a hobby. This is somebody who is taking the time, who has been taught, who has been skilled, who has been trained, who has went to school, who has got teachings on how to properly deal with the things that will help build the house. Hallelujah. Take the time to sit up under your man and woman of God, to be perfected, so that when you're put in place, hallelujah, you won't have the building leaning. You won't have it uneven, that you will be able to be sustainable. And if something else goes wrong, you're the one that they can lean on and depend on. Who you allow to work on you? I'm going to say it again. Be careful who you allow yourself to be worked on by. So many people I notice are so quick to tell somebody their business. I got to close. You're so quick to put your business on Facebook. You're so quick and so in a hurry to put all of your emotions on social media. You talk to everybody about what you're going through. Everybody knows your business. You are covering up by some church conversation. Girl, pray for me, I'm doing this. Girl, pray for me, I'm experiencing this. Man, pray for me, I'm going through this. And everybody don't need know your business. You're going from this church to that church. Girl, I need a word. No, you need to sit down and hit your knees. Push your plate back. Stop hopping to all these churches with all these different spirits and all these different things going on, all these different teachings. And sometimes it's not because it's a bad church. They just are not capable or at that time ordained to feed you. Sometimes we are asking people to feed us that the apostolic FDA has not approved what they're serving. God, I'm talking good to me. Hallelujah. And you find yourself poisoned and sick with food poisoning in the spirit realm simply because you sat down and ate somewhere you shouldn't have been eating at. Once again, I'm going to ask you to share this for me tonight. There is a difference between chisels and hammers. There's a difference between chisels and hammers. Hammers are meant for hard hitting and for breakage or for setting nails. Okay? Chisels are meant for perfection and precision. God help me, Holy Ghost. And so the person who is helping you has to be wise enough to know the difference between when they need a hammer and when they need a chisel in your life. And sometimes we have dealt with people, they should have had a hammer to break a spirit asunder, but they were using a chisel. And so therefore, you were being oppressed by a demon that should have had a hammer taken to it. There were some of you, somebody in your life took a hammer to your life when they should have used a chisel and caused you to be hurt, to be abused spiritually, mistreated, and talked down to, and confused because the word came across entirely too heavy for what you were dealing with. That's why you have to be careful not to sit up under a man or woman of God that makes you just makes you feel good. Sometimes you need to be up under somebody who will get right up under your skin and have you leaving church so angry that it caused you to get your life right. one thing I appreciated about my parents growing up in the church that we grew up in, and even the first church that I was a part of before we began to pastor the church was Nehemiah Urban Church Ministries, Bishop Rory Marshall. They would preach a word that will slap you dead in the face. There was no denying the rebuke that came through the word. And sometimes I would sit there. I would sit there angry because they were calling me out, whether they were calling my name specifically or whether through the word of God they were talking directly to me. You need to be under a man or woman of God that it feels like when they are preaching, there is absolutely and positively nobody else in the room but you and him and her. That's how you know that man or woman of God has been sent by God to perfect you. If you feel no personalization in the word that's being preached, that might be a good sign. There's something wrong somewhere. That word, every word ought to hit you so deep in the belly that you can't sit still. You know why? Because it's perfecting you. It's causing you to be better and not bitter. My God, today. Because that hammer can either hurt you or shape you. Because that brick has to go in a particular place, hallelujah, in order for that building to stand up. Peter compares us to the temple. He says, know you not that your body is the temple of God. Jesus was compared as the cornerstone. Why are you bent out of shape if Jesus is the cornerstone? He's already taken the curve. He's taking the curve to make sure that you can fit right into his plan. He was the stone that the builders rejected. God told the, and I'm getting ready to shut this lab down. God told the Israelites, if you read, God told the Israelites that to each one of you take a stone to remember. And the reason why he said that, he said, each tribe take a stone to remember where I brought you from. To remember how I brought you through dry ground. Hallelujah. I want you to know that God wants to perfect you. And don't be weary or don't be scared about God perfecting you. So many times we're so busy trying to make ourselves seem like we got it all together. There's nothing wrong. I don't have anything wrong in my life. And so we'll talk about it after we brought it out. And the truth of the matter is there's no anesthesia in the quarry. You're going to feel it. When God really works on you, you're going to feel it. There's going to be pieces that don't make the cut. I'm going to say that one again. Sometimes those bricks start off a particular way. That concrete start off a particular way. And after being hammered on and being chiseled on, there were some parts of it that didn't make it through. I want to tell somebody today, there's going to be some parts that you got on right now that ain't going to make it through the next phase of your life. God's going to cut some of them things off. He's going to chisel some of those things out. Always uses people in pain. Don't be afraid for God to rock your boat. Don't be afraid for God to make some things uncomfortable for you. Beloved, if you have not, hallelujah, been on the quarry in a while, I'm going to suggest to you to ask God to put me back on the wheel. We used to sing a song that said, search me, Lord. Shine your light from heaven on my soul. If you find anything that should not be, take it out and strengthen me because I want to be right. I want to be saved, and I want to be whole. Again, my name is Prophet Antoine Thomas. It's been a blessing to talk to you tonight. Remember, the sky is not your limit. It's too low. Let me pray for you before we go. Father, I give you praise and I give you honor. Father, we've spoken to your people what you have ordained for us to share tonight. Father, I pray that every word that was said tonight will fall on good ground. And that we will seek fruit thereof today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, and for the rest of our lives. We come against the spirit of backlash and retaliation, every demon and devil in hell that would try to come and uproot what God has said and done for us tonight. Father, you arise, let your enemies be scattered. Father, calls us to be the worshipers that you seek for in every aspect of our lives. Forgive us, O God. Wash us clean and make us whole. If you be our God, we'll be your people. And we give you all the honor and the praise, and the glory shall be thine. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, the sky is not your limit. It's too low.
Amen, amen, amen. Man of God, you preached on tonight. I thank you for that word. I don't want no fast food salvation either, and I pray that God touch my heart that I stop desiring. If I'm desiring a happy meal, I don't want one. I want to say it, the lines are open. Anyone and everyone that wants to speak into the man of God's life, please come on the line and encourage the man of God and let him know what the word has done for you tonight. The lines are open. Minister Brandon, please open the lines.
Amen. This is Cecilia. I just want to say that was so, oh my God, that was nutritional. You know how Prophet, you said, don't go somewhere where you can get food poisoning, but go somewhere where you can be fed some nutrition. And then you also reminding us about, you know, that there's not going to be no anesthesia while he's cutting us, while he's chiseling away those things that will perfect us. And you remind us how the hammer will either hurt you or it will help you. I mean, you gave us so many nuggets. I could just go on and on. But to be honest, I couldn't type them all because, oh, but so for those of you who cannot go on Facebook to read them all and get them all, don't forget to go into his archives. You can easily go on his page or whoever shared it with you and hear this word over and over and over again, and then that way you won't get that meal that's processed and quick and instant that lacks nutrition and nourishment, but you will get that word that perfects you, because I know I'm going to be eating that word again and again. So thank you so much, Prophet. This is Cecilia.
Thank you, Apostle Elect, for your words of encouragement. Anyone else have anything they would like to say to the man of God on tonight? Well, we want to just thank everyone that called in on tonight and listened in. I believe that the people are just caught up in a place of just rededicating themselves to God. They're in the quarry and asking God to just redo his work. They're going back to their first love. I want to say to the man of God, is there any announcement that you have that you would like to put on the hearts of the people?
No, ma'am, not at this particular time.
Okay. And again, I would like to say to everyone, thank you for joining in. I told you all earlier that I was already ready, and I hope you were ready when you tuned in tonight. And if you wasn't ready, I hope you leave in the line ready. So mad at the prophet that you want to go and tell God to get your life straight. If we can't say amen, let's say ouch. I want to say thank you, man of God, for that strong word on tonight with giving us what we needed. So next Monday, please call back in at 310-861-2354 for our Monday night ministries, Iron Sharpening Iron through Smile 3E. I want to also remind you all to keep Apostle Sandra Thomas and her family in your prayers, and keep Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser and her family in your prayers. Keep the ministry in your prayers, the Monday night ministry that we present to you. Also, come call in every Friday with Elder Kathy Kendall with God Still Heals at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You could also tune in every Sunday morning with Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser and Minister Brandon Kaiser with Let's Talk at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't forget, we love you with the love of the Lord, and there's nothing you can do about it. Don't forget our foundational scripture, which is Matthew 6 through 30 and 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So until then, I look forward to hearing the word with you all next Monday when we have another guest speaker that will be on the line. So thank you again. And in that words again, hallelujah, amen, and good night. Mm-hmm.